Hello, I'm Shalom.
And I'm Courtney, and this is Almost Nerdy. We love sci-fi, we love fantasy, we love all things nerdy.
And we are about to spoil this for you, so make sure you've already watched it. Hey guys, welcome back to Almost Nerdy.
Hopefully you made it through our first episode.
Yes.
Because this is our second episode in our series about fascism within sci-fi fantasy movies.
Within the sci-fi fantasy movies.
This is Shalom living his best life.
I'm living my best life. Harry Potter was fun. It was good to talk about enablers. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And this week we're going to be talking about Star Wars, specifically sticking to the prequels, episode 1 through 3.
Right.
Because they just dive mostly into that. We have also watched Clone Wars, the cartoon, which you can watch on Disney Plus. That also really dives into it, but I don't think we'll touch on that nearly as much as the movies themselves.
Right. Right. I think just the whole world of Star Wars is like tons of politics, tons of deals and just maneuvering, especially on Palpatine's side of things. He really takes advantage of the situation, and it really, you know, the Trade Federation and the Senate, they all made it easy for him to actually just rise up to power easily.
So we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to jump into this movie.
Okay, welcome back. We are diving into Star Wars, especially the prequels.
Yes.
And I think there's just so much there. Like, there's just so much politics that happens in the prequels. Not as much as the main ones. The first three movies that came out. You don't
really
see that
much politics.
I think
there's more politics in the prequels.
No, I'm saying like there's more politics in the prequels than in the actual like...
Later on.
Yeah, like the when
those are
George
more like
Lucas
war.
First introduced the world of Star Wars,
yeah,
it wasn't as political as the prequels.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine people being surprised by that. You know? Just going like... You know what I mean? Like, it's a different tone.
It's kind of like, in some ways, yes, in some ways, no. Like, just depending on how you look at it. Actually, hold on. I want to take 1 second. We also do a deep dive through the Star Wars universe in a previous series. So if you love Star Wars and you want us to literally go through every single movie, including Solo and Rogue One, we also do that. Yes. And we've talked about The Mandalorian as well. Mm-hmm. So you can also listen to those episodes. Yeah. So I definitely encourage you, if you enjoy this conversation and you want to listen to us just geek out about Star Wars, go back to those episodes. But
yeah,
back to what you're saying.
Yeah.
In some ways, yes. In some ways, no. Because if you are a true Star Wars fan and you know George Lucas and you understand that, like, he was essentially basing, like, the Empire on fascist ideals and, like, it was a political statement, like, then... If you didn't know that, I could see being surprising that in the prequels, which is essentially the downfall of this galactic empire, or it's not even empire, it's like a the Senate, right?
Yeah, right.
Like, it's the downfall of that and the up and bringing up of Darth Vader. Like, the prequels are actually kind of depressing when you think about it, because you're literally watching the end of an era and a society fall apart.
Right, right. We kind of knew what was going to happen in the end.
Yeah.
We just didn't know how we were going to arrive to that point.
Yeah.
And I think that it was... The prequels are getting more love now.
Oh, definitely.
Way more love. People quote the prequels more than the main ones, the first three. People, like, have quotes for democracy. You know, like, there's just so much...
You know,
like,
that language being so clunky... There are just certain lines that people quote. Like, and especially, I think, I will never get over this. Like, the end of 2020, when Trump lost the election and he was just like trying to find votes and all this stuff, like that that one Obi-Wan quote got used over and over again, like, it's for democracy,
right? Like, for democracy.
You know, like,
yeah,
like you can't just have your way. And it's like,
right,
like we were right. We were living, like, I'm not gonna sugarcoat it, like we were living through that. We yeah. were living through basically someone trying to push their way past mm-hmm. democracy mm-hmm. into essentially fascism.
Yeah, imagine, like, for me, it haunts me because I'm like, imagine if, like, the army or one of the judges or something had gone mm-hmm. along with it.
Instead of actually holding right. to the ideals of democracy.
Right, like, can you imagine all of that? I do, like, I think, like, even to... The question is, how does a personality like Trump, like Hitler, how do they come to power in the first place, right? And mm-hmm. yes, last week we discussed how you have enablers. You have people mm-hmm. who, you have the guys who are...
The bureaucrats.
The bureaucrats, right? So these guys mm-hmm. are just wanting to keep the power, right? Uh-huh. So they oppress, they basically are in denial. They're going to denial mm-hmm. just to like... Because they have ties to this person, yeah. right? And so, and then you have the person who is like all out, like kind of like all about the order, slash the chaos. They can also be a bureaucrat, like Umbridge was a bureaucrat, mm-hmm. but she was kind of like crazy about it,
yeah.
you know, like she was kind of like radicalized yeah. about, you know, that bureaucracy kind of approach. And so that she stepped out of even what bureaucracy is to become this like villain.
She also held those ideals.
She also held those ideals, but she was kind of a chameleon, right? Yeah. She kind of changed, and then you have, you know, the unaffected. So last week that's what we touched on. And this week I'm seeing a lot of less of people who are working alongside with Voldemort mm-hmm. or will work alongside with Voldemort, but rather I'm seeing like just establishment, right? The concept of establishment mm-hmm. where you have a political system that is designed to frustrate anybody, right? It's made to be slow, mm-hmm. right? It's made to be inefficient sort of, and yet efficient enough mm-hmm. that you can't really like, go just say it's inefficient, you know, like and I think that's kind of what American politics and a lot of politics that happens where there are a lot of decision makers mm-hmm. like you have that a system that's set in place where you're trying to get help, you're trying to get food, you're trying to get healthcare, you're trying to get all of this, but they'll spend like years just arguing, right, about stuff, and then at the end of the day nothing actually gets done. And this is a cynical side of me slash, you know, read so many books that's my conclusion, is that it's on purpose. Mm-hmm. It's both sides. Like, for example, establishment Democrats, establishment Republicans, they're on the same side. They share the same side. Mm. And I think that frustration system, it's created that way so that, like, the country doesn't have too much progress. Well, too much progress means you're taking power away from businesses and companies. And so... In my view, that's how it is. In my view, that's how it was before the French Revolution and whatever revolution has happened in the world, there was a system that frustrated people, mm. right? And what happens is that, or even with Hitler, there was the first World War, right? And so Germany was like depleted. It was just like so much like what's happening. Mm-hmm. And so he came in where there was the Weimar Republic at that time in Germany that were like the establishment.
And you're talking Hitler, about Hitler now.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So Hitler basically, you know, came in as a populist, right? And it's that sort of personality that goes like, you know, look at the system, look what's happening, look what's going around. Just like Palpatine, right? Yep. So Palpatine, you know, shows like, I mean, he's in the Senate from Naboo, and so meets up with Padme, who needs help and is desperate. And the Senate is going like, we need to investigate, we need to sit down.
Yeah.
It's like those meetings that happen here where it's like something happens and then the Senate will be like, let us have a hearing.
Yeah,
you know, if I hear another word, like if I hear the word hearing again, I'm going to like freak out. There's so many just hearings. And And so this guy, like, he says, you know, listen, pardon me. These guys are ineffective.
Mm-hmm.
What you need to do is to just fire the guy. Just say
vote of no confidence.
Yeah, vote the chancellor out. Just say we want to get rid of him. And that way, and throughout the prequels and also, you know, the Clone Wars,
mm-hmm.
you actually get to see how Palpatine used frustration and came in as a populist. A populist is a political figure who shows up having ideals that the majority approves of. He shows mm-hmm. up and he's like, healthcare, food. His focus is on the people.
Yeah.
It's not on the political game. Establishment politicians make decisions based on political leverage, mm-hmm. yada, yada, yada. A populist shows up. He's like, people, 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 people. Even though a lot of times, not all the time, but a lot of times, sometimes a populist has their own agenda. They're mm-hmm. just using people to get into power.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, because they came in with the populist kind of approach, they end up becoming kind of some sort of dictator.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really, like, just because of how they came in
yeah.
into power. But a lot of it is birthed out of the frustration that people are having that then give that guy an opportunity to show up,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so that's kind of what I was thinking of when it comes to these yeah. movies. Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's so many interesting things about this that it's like, now that I'm older and I'm not like 10 years old watching this movie, like, that makes so much more sense to me. It's like, I was like, give me more Darth Maul, give me less Senate talking when I was a kid. You know what I mean? I mean, Darth Maul is like BA.
Right.
So like give me more of that. Like, right. I don't care mm-hmm. about the Senate. But now that I'm older,
yeah.
it's like I feel for Padme, you know, like she's stuck here.
Mm-hmm.
She's trying to take care of her people. And instead, she's being told, like, yeah, there needs to be a hearing. And it's like,
yeah.
it just reminds me of, like, the things that we see, like, in our own, like, political system, where it's like, I don't really understand why filibustering should even be allowed. Like,
right.
Like, how is that allowed? Like,
right.
like, you need to be making, like, real life decisions on things that really matter to people.
Right.
And, like, you're going to stand up there and just, like, talk about whatever because, like, you don't want to make a decision. Mm-hmm. Like, that seems like something a 4-year-old would do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's be adults now. And it's like, I mm-hmm. understand that these are complex things mm-hmm. and you're trying to get a whole group of people to, like, agree,
right.
which is difficult.
Right.
But it's like, yeah, I feel like what you were saying, like, there's almost these things that are built in there to be frustrating. And it's like, as someone who grew up in America, like, you are told our democracy is meant to go slow. And I do think that there are benefits in that. Like, mm-hmm. there are definitely benefits of, like, you don't have this fast spinning and like swinging of, like, who's in power. Like,
yeah.
you can't have healthcare one day and then not healthcare the next day and then this and then that. And, like, then you have this role and that role. And, like, they just change all the time depending on who's in power, which is a good thing, right? But then it's like these kind of almost like sneaky, frustrating things get put in there under the, like, oh, well, if we do away with that, then, like, all these terrible bad things could happen, right?
Mm.
And it's like, it's like, there's got to be a balance. There's got to be a balance somewhere
There's got
to
be.
Of, like, come on. There's, like, you should be able to tell, like, in this Senate, for example, like, in Star Wars, like, they should be able to tell the Trade Federation to, like, knock it off.
Right.
You know?
Right.
That should be pretty easy to see that they're, like, blocking them.
Right.
Like, that mm-hmm. should be an easy investigation, like a 2-second investigation.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I agree. Like, I think that, like, you know, just even talking about, like, how the filibuster was right now, it's even worse. You basically just, like, the Senate majority leader can just say, I'm going to filibuster this. They don't even need to do the talking thing. They don't
it's
even
so
need
bad.
To work for it. They can just
don't
say,
even have to work for it.
Yeah. They just say, I'm filibustering. And so, like, it's basically, it's a system that's like, it's like,
yeah, whatever, you know what? Well, I'm rich now.
Right, right, like, exactly. It's like you it's
just
such a crazy.
It.
Right, he just declares it, just like, I'm declaring filibuster. And it's so annoying because I think, you rarely, even the concept of filibustering, really, a lot of it comes from, it's more of a racist kind of thing. Like, it's like there's a lot of racism that comes out of that. The way that rule was developed. And I won't go too deep into it, but, like, if you research it, you see, like, a lot of it came from times where...
Like Jim Crow times?
Jim Crow times, like, where it's, like, they wanted some sort of balance in the Senate. But it's not really balance, but it's the fact that Democrats were just gaining popularity. A lot of black people could vote. Mm. A lot of, like, so you knew that, like, they're going to have the House and the Senate. And so they went like, hey, look, instead of just saying because you have 51 senators on your side, shouldn't mean like you get to just do what you want. We should be able to stop it. So the basis of the filibuster,
which almost seems fair in a way, but like it's really not
fair. It's really not fair because a lot of times, like, Republicans do not want to do a lot. They don't, even abortion. They've had the Senate. They've had the House. They've had a lot of things in their control, right? For a while, like over, since Ronald Reagan, they've had a number of times where they've actually had the Senate, but they haven't used it. So the politics that Republicans have is really of not doing much. It's more of just rage, right? So they build a lot of it off rage. So really, the filibuster is to stop Democrats from doing stuff, right? And so, but Democrats kind of play along with it, you know, which is why a lot of people say Democrats don't do much, because it's kind of like they don't want to get too progressive. They don't want to, like, progression goes against the actual, you know, customers of politics, which are corporations. And so that's why a lot of people, what's happening today, there's pushes for more unions and so forth, right? A lot of people are kind of stirring up because that's what happens. The French Revolution happened after a lot, like, the poor were frustrated by the politics, by the fact that they were not being treated well. And I think that's just an old story. It's like, it's a broken record. And so in situations like that, if a guy showed up, I mean, Trump was super dense, though. He wasn't, like, really, even though he had fascist, he was a fascist at heart, he really didn't have the discipline. He was not a disciplined personality. Well, he wasn't disciplined enough. Like, Palpatine was disciplined.
You didn't even know. He was not
emotional. The most emotion you see is when then he's like, unlimited power. That's the most emotion you see.
But he's, like, behind closed doors, technically.
But that moment was, like, his most, like, because the Sith are birthed out of hate. It's rage, right? So, but he had a certain level of discipline that allowed him to play all these games without, but the issue was a populist, like, or rather a bad populist, not all populists are bad, a populist who then moves over to fascism, shows up and is a very charming personality. Is a very, you know, like, I'm sure Hitler had dinners with people. I'm sure Hitler went to church. I'm sure Hitler did all these things. But he shows up,
like, and painting.
And was he just show up? Like, a populist just shows up and says, like, just, and I'm sure most of us have heard this on the news, on, you know, campaign trails from 2016. It's like, the elite want you to suffer. The elite don't want to help you. The elite want to keep you down. The elite want to keep you, right? And is he lying? It's not, no, he's not. It's not a lie. Like, really, the political system is an oppressor to the poor, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but what he did was, he came in and said, the elite want to mess you up. Then he also had, like, you know, also had immigrants, attacked immigrants as well, a scapegoat, right? So you always have, you know, a political system and a scapegoat. But, you know, in Star Wars, you see more of Palpatine attacking the political system and saying, this system is not helping you. And for real, it was not helping Padme. She was facing a real situation. People were dying. And, you know, that's why you see, like, you know, Misa, you know, doing his little speech and going like, let's give him all the powers. Let's do it. We're like, Jar Jar. No, don't do it, Jar Jar. But
you know, he took advantage of Jar. Like, right. I even looking at it, like, he he even took advantage of Padme. Like, mm-hmm. she's very young.
Mm-hmm.
She's very young.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, not that she's not intelligent, but, like, there is something about, like, being able to look at a, like, a younger person with less right. experience mm-hmm. and be like, oh, I can trick that person. Like, yeah. I can come in and help that person.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, and that's kind of what I feel with Padme is, like, he came in and then he did the same thing with Jar Jar. Like,
yeah.
Jar Jar also was, like, is, you know, now he's a senator.
Mm.
And he gets tricked as well.
Yeah. Yeah. He gets tricked. And at the very end, Padme realizes that she, like, it was all a mistake. And I love the line that she delivers when people are clapping hands for Palpatine. Yay, you are emperor now, right? And she says, and that's how liberty dies, to a thunderous applause.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was powerful. That was powerful because that's what happens is that when a populace who then goes into, you know, fascism and so forth. Like, again, I need to say this as many times as possible. There are populists who don't go into fascism, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's very important. But a populist who has fascism ideals is so, you know, is like it's like a drink of cold water after walking in the desert all day. You know, like, is he so refreshing because he finally, somebody is explaining to me what the heck is happening in politics. You know what I mean? Like, finally somebody is explaining to me why I'm not getting like the healthcare I need. Mm-hmm. Finally somebody explaining to me. So this guy shows up and very simple, but is very soothing. So yeah, that's why it's called a populist, because that person speaks into the most popular ideas that people have. And so sometimes they tap into the hatred that people, like Hitler, tapped into the hatred mm-hmm. in people's hearts coming out of the war, out of a war that Germany lost, and he just channeled all that like frustration and anger. And then also out of the war, there was lots of poverty, tons of just hunger and so forth. And he channeled all that anger and frustration into, like, first of all, you know, he actually tried to do a coup, right, and failed. Yeah, Hitler did, and he basically, you know, but he was forgiven, right? Came back, then he won. He mm-hmm. won because he had popular ideas, because it's soothing. It's soothing. Palpatine was a soothing figure, you know. Like, if I hadn't watched the other one scene like that, that's, oh my gosh, that's Palpatine. That's actually Palpatine. That's the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
I would be like, wow, this guy's so helpful. So nice.
So helpful. He's
so nice. And he was like, I humbly accept this result. I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy is so nice. Give him the power. Give him all the power.
But he's a good guy.
He's a good guy. And because it's so soothing, you know, people mm-hmm. fall for it. But then, you know, it's their personalities that show up, and like Hitler. Eventually, then he started tapping into a lot of, you know, a lot of, like, just anti-Semitism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's just starting, like, just blaming.
Yeah.
You know, just saying, we blame the Jews. They're the ones who are the problem here. They're the ones that are the issue. We blame, you know, just like, you know, immediately Palpatine is like, look, the Jedi tried to kill me. The Jedi, you know, even though it's a situation he created. And they massacre the Jedi, you know, until only a few are left. And so the stuff like that, you know, it's something that a dictator, a fascist, is very good at. And then eventually he then gained like a full foothold on the whole, you know, galaxy. And yeah, it took Luke to show up and do his thing.
And do his thing.
Yeah.
I also wanted to touch on the conversation. It's in episode 2.
Yeah.
It's kind of when, like, Padme and Shlomo, I always call them the little ticks in the field, when they're like these little they're giant, like, animals, ticks. But they look like ticks.
Yeah.
and they're having that conversation where they're talking, where, like, Padme is talking about democracy and, like, like, Anakin's showing this other side. And it's kind of like, I think sometimes it's, because Anakin is, like, basically an amazing Jedi at this point. Like, he's mm-hmm. an amazing Jedi. It's, like, almost easy to forget that, like, he literally was a slave. Like, slavery is supposed to be outlawed. mm-hmm. the galaxy at this point. And mm-hmm. even like Padme, when she first meets him, is mm-hmm. like, is like, wait a second, like, how are they enslaved? Slavery's outlawed. And it's like, right. but these rim planets,
right?
Like they still have the, they still have these things mm. happening. Mm. And I think that just kind of shows like the unjust within society.
Yeah.
I'll never forget this. Shil and I used to volunteer at a church with youth, and we had a like a child abuse seminar. And the guy who was there was like, child abuse, like molestation, like anything that has to do with like harming a child, like cannot be more illegal than it is right now, but it still happens. And the best way to prevent it is education and like and educating people onto like seeing it and knowing what to do when they see it, because like and this is why like a lot of times, like when you talk to activists, like education is so important, because the thing is, most people just don't know what to do when they see injustice. Like it, like you kind of get shocked about it and you're like, I don't know what to do. But like educating on like what to do when you see it, like that's why you see a lot of stuff now that's talking about like stop Asian hate, like what to say, like when you hear something, hear something racist, like what do you do? Like, because like education really does help the general public be able to know what to do. And it's like, that's kind of what I felt like in the Empire, is like there were still these places that were almost like forgotten about. And I think for Anakin, he's like, well, if we had like a strong hand and it wasn't like this, these long, like, you know, things, long like hearings and stuff, like I wouldn't have been a slave.
Yeah.
As a child. Like he was literally a slave.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the Jedi were there.
They were there.
The Jedi were there. They left his mom. They left his mom there.
And they left his mom.
Yeah. They left his mom there. They could have just like, let's free her. You know, this is wrong. This is messed up. And I think, yeah, you see, that it kind of comes back to that place where it's like, you know, some systems, it's hard. I think it's hard for the oppressed to see this. Like, and it goes all the way back towards slavery. And I was thinking about this today. And I was like, yeah, technically, black people still kind of live in a fascist state. Right. You know, because... you know, the way, like, you know, yesterday a black man was shot, right? And he was shot because there was a warrant that was overdue. He was supposed to hand this stuff in. And I think, you know, the latest is that there's some sort of mix-up with that. But the issue is, you know, someone showed up, you know, a cop showed up and shot him, and then the claim is, oh, I thought it was a taser, which is BS. I just don't believe it. I don't. But the point is, basically, the very, you know, not long after that shooting, in the city, cops everywhere, National Guard activated, all these things. Or like, all of a sudden, you know, like, it's like, literally, like, people's voices outside, because people are upset and they don't know what to do. They're like, if the cops are just killing us, which is happening, and this happened 20 minutes or rather 20 miles outside of Minneapolis, which is where George Floyd was killed.
Yeah.
And so, and the trial was happening, and I think it's ending today or tomorrow, and it's just like, it's insane, like, how the existence that black people have in America, but that hand of oppression is there, right? It's like, it's oppressive, and that is just something that, you know, where you can have a system where people are saying, oh, we live in a democracy, right? And even Obi-Wan is like, we're in a democracy. And still have people on the outskirts being, like, mistreated, being murdered, being oppressed, being, you can still be in America, which is, you know, which a lot of Americans believe is the freest country in the world, which really, you know, stats say differently, but, like, you, like, a lot of Americans can live here and not realize that, no, like, there are places that actually people are not free. They're not that free. The prison system basically is slavery, you know. And so that's something that I think that's a good point. What you're saying, like, yeah, like stuff like that happens and people sometimes might not even notice it or not care. Mm-hmm. Because they have the ideal of, hey, we're in a democracy, everything's mm-hmm. fine.
And I also think it's like, I mean, the whole point of government is so that like the everyday citizen doesn't have to sit there and vote on everything and think about everything. Like we're a democratic republic for a reason. Like mm-hmm. we elect our officials so they can spend their time doing that so that we don't have to. And like
right.
that's one of the parts of being part of a society is that we don't have to like, we don't have to hunt for our own food and we don't have to like build our own roads and we don't have to like, you don't do anything on your own. Like that's the cool part of being a society, right? But then it also comes with these downfalls of like, yes, lots of injustice happens and it's like people are kind of so busy living their everyday lives. And I kind of feel that way with like, with a lot of like what's going on in the Senate, especially in episode 1 and 2, is it's like everybody's just kind of like trying to do what they can for their own country instead of like kind of working together and being like, oh, there's like injustice happening over there, like we should worry about that.
Right That's true. The other thing that I noticed, like, I think Anakin is a representation of a much larger group, like the fear factor. You know, Anakin is afraid of losing the people he loves. And so because of the fear builds up to such a point that he's willing to partner up with a Sith Lord in order to protect his family. And I think what fear politics is something that's so big when it comes to like, or rather that is a cornerstone really of a fascist system, you know, because a lot of it, fascism has scapegoats. Like a fascism will be like, here, like, be afraid of this. Be afraid of this.
We hear
this.
That and a lot in the U.S. with immigrants.
Right. Immigrants with, you know, and Hitler, you know, used that with Jews. Like he was like, the Jew is this. And he created all these stories. Like we watched a movie called Jojo Rabbit. And it's very interesting. And it's a kid who is like all Hitler. He loves Hitler. Hitler is his imaginary friend. And so basically like he then realized that his mom was hiding a Jew in his, like a Jewish woman in his house. And basically the interactions are so, he's afraid and he says all these like assumptions and she's kind of teasing him through it all. But then later on he realizes, wow, she's nice. Like she's cool, you know. And then she tells Hitler to piss off, and that was really cool. Like, and I think that movie, for me, it was such a good perspective of like what a lot of Germans were being like, just lied to about, and being told, "I'll be afraid of this and this and this and this," and then him, and then Palpatine saying, "I can fix it. I alone can fix this. I alone can protect you. I can keep you safe from the bad and everything." And so then you have this whole group of people, and some of them get radicalized to the point of just absolute faith in their leader, blind faith in their leader. And, you know, but that all comes from a place of just fear, fearing black people, fearing, you know, like it's, and a lot of it, even last year, like with the election, fear was one of the things that we were fighting against. You know, it was like one lie after another, one just fear mongering for days. It's like, be afraid of this, be afraid of black people, be afraid of, you know, of anyone who's a Muslim, be afraid of, you know, like just be afraid. And then because you become afraid, you want safety, and because you want safety, you will say yes to anything that promises that safety, to the point that like you might even say yes to genocide. And then, you know, a lot of people after the Holocaust, they regretted it. But they said yes because they believed the lies that were based on their fears. It's sad. It's really sad. Yeah.
Even in episode 2 in Clone Wars, like the Jedi actually embrace the clones at the end, because it's the only way that they feel like they can win.
Right.
And it's like, they're not even they're supposed to be peacekeepers.
Right.
You know? And yet somehow Palpatine has managed to twist it so that they actually become like warriors.
Right.
Like they've been turned into an army as opposed to as opposed to just peacekeepers and like investigators and like seeing what's happening in the galaxy and like, you know, all of that. So it's very I think they use that fear kind of like losing power.
Yeah, that's so true. Fear of losing power, you know, and I think, you know, when we talk about white supremacy.
And like, losing society as it is, like.
Yeah.
Sometimes even just keeping the status quo, like losing that is scary to people.
Yeah, I think white supremacy is something that a lot of people are afraid to lose, you know, and a lot of white people are so used to being the center of that, the universe, the human universe. And realizing that, oh my gosh, in 20 years, white people will not be the majority in America, you know. So that leverage, when that goes away, you know, the fears are like literally today they were discussing one of the presenters from Fox News, and they were talking about replacement, like the concept of replacement of, and he basically goes like, immigrants, aliens are coming to a country and replacing us, right? So that they can vote. They can have, like, Democrats want massive voting blocks of immigrants and aliens, right? And he's using these words intentionally to cause fear. And and then he says, well, they want to replace you. They want to replace you from your perch, from you being the central figure. And that fear, basically what it does is it's like people are like, they don't want to lose their power. They don't want to lose their influence. Some of them genuinely believe that, you know, they're like, oh my gosh, if we're no longer the majority, you know, they're just going to kill all, you know, white Christians or whatever, you know, and that is something that, comes out of fear. And fear is a very effective tool to get someone to just like give themselves to you, to get someone to actually just lean on you, because they're like, you're my safety. You make me feel safe. And because you make me feel safe, I can never leave you. I can never walk away from you. And so that's just something you see a lot in fascism. And that's something that I feel like last year, right, we kind of dodged the bullet with a lot of it, because it wasn't just like a few thousand people who were following Trump and going all the way to their edge, saying crazy things. It was millions of people, you know, and a lot of it's fear does that. Okay, so we are going to round up.
Yes, we are. So thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Again, if you loved Star Wars, definitely go back and listen to our previous series. We went all the way through Star Wars, and we included Rogue One and Rogue One. And Solo. I think we also talked about The Mandalorian, just because we loved it so much. It's called
Jedi Junkies.
Jedi Junkies. Jedi Junkies. Check that out. Next week, we're going to be talking about Hunger Games, because we just want to talk about actually toppling a fascist system.
Right. And how it's maintained, too.
Yes. Yeah. The maintenance as well as toppling it. So get ready for The Girl on Fire.
Get ready. Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us on this nerdy journey.
We'll see you next week.